This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, SEAT and Vauxhall. Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Thursday, August the 11th, and there's a tragic story to start off today's podcast. Two people have died and a child is in hospital following a hit and run in Ramsgate. It happened outside a multi-storey car park at about 9:30 last night. Well, our reporter, Jerry Warren, has been to the site.
The tragedy has happened in Leopold Street in Ramsgate, which has reopened this morning, although the area where the collision itself remains taped off and there are staff at the scene. At the moment, the street is open to traffic, but people passing by have expressed their sadness at the loss of two family members and another child injured in what appears to have been a hit-and-run accident. Police have subsequently arrested a man. It is not clear what exactly happened, though the damage is concentrated around a bench, but the family were pedestrians. And it is believed the car hit them and then drove off. There are no police presence here now. There are some highway staff cleaning up the area. As I say, the road remains open and the investigation is ongoing.
A black Alfa Romeo was involved in the collision. A man in his 80s and a woman in her 30s were killed. As Jerry mentioned, they were members of the same family. A young girl is being treated in a London hospital, while a man in his 40s and a young boy suffered minor injuries. Jerry also spoke to Mark Hyde, who lives nearby.
What did you see, Mark?
I seen the ambulance, the fire brigade and some police cars. Yeah. And people looked on all taped off road.
Well, what did you think had happened?
I thought some Mark got killed by a hitman man or smacked into a wall. That's what I was told. Somebody got smacked into this wall just across here. So I don't know the whole incidents and stories.
But a rather sad sight.
Yeah. All I could see was tape, with blue tape, and a great big blue tarpaulin by the hands of the fire brigade. That's all I'd actually see. And the knife just disappeared.
When did you hear what had happened?
Well, since I went to the pub with a mate of mine.
Pretty shocking.
Yeah, it was a shocking sight to hear.
Police have told us a 30-year-old man from Ramsgate has been arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving and leaving the scene of a collision. Local businesses with CCTV or drivers with dash cam footage that might be useful are being urged to hand it over to investigators. A wall opposite the entrance to the Royal Harbour multi-storey car park has been damaged and a road sign knocked to the floor. A bench on the street has also been removed. Councillor Roshan Ara is the mayor of Ramsgate and spoke to me earlier.
Well, last night from 9 o'clock on, 9:30, something like that, I've been hearing police car, ambulance and fire brigade up and down from like London Road to the town centre. And I was wondering what happened, actually. Then I sent my husband out and he said there's the Leopold Estate car park. The street was closed from the hotel and all that area. So I knew something was happening, but I wasn't aware what exactly happened last night. But when I heard the tragic incident happen this morning, my heart goes out to the family and friends for this sad time for them.
Absolutely devastating thing to happen to a family. Do you know many more details at all now that, you know, some time has passed since the accident happened?
I'm not sure if the people were local residents or visitors. I'm really sorry that, you know, whoever it was or the family members, I am my heartiest condolences to the family. Again,
for anyone who doesn't know Ramsgate particularly well, are you able just to describe again for us where precisely this road is? Is it far from the seafront?
You can actually see the sea from Leopold Estate car park, and it's a 1 minute walk, I would say, you know, just very near to the Royal Harbour.
And have you been down there this morning? What does the scene look like?
Yes, I have. I just parked my car in the car park, and I have seen the KCC workers there, and I've been spoken to the one of our street cleaner, and he's seen everything this morning, and he was really devastated.
Had any tributes been left at the site that you saw this morning, or was it a bit too early?
No, but I have been talking to my colleagues, to other ward councillors, and we would like to do a visual this evening for the Leopold Estate, that particular area. So I'll be posting something on social media for people to come in and join us.
That vigil is due to take place at 7 p.m. this evening. Our thoughts today are very much with the family and friends of those involved.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and a young woman who died just 10 months after a devastating crash killed four of her family has been described as beautiful and kind-hearted. Pemelina Lee was married to Paddy Cash, whose father and brother died in the collision in Headcorn last October. Her parents say the 21-year-old was young, bubbly and outgoing. She had two sisters and a brother and was also a mum to a little boy. It's another scorcher today, and now the Met Office has issued a warning about the exceptional risk of wildfires. There were more field and grass blazes in Dartford, Gravesend and Romney Marsh yesterday. And in yesterday's podcast, as you might remember, we told you how crews in Kent have already dealt with more than 400 so far this year. That's compared to just 44 at the same time in 2021. Well, an amber weather warning for extreme heat has come into force for most of Kent today. Forecasters say temperatures will reach the low to mid 30s by Sunday. Only the East Kent coast down to Dover escapes the alert because it'll be cooler by the sea. James Williams is Medway's Director of Public Health, and he's been speaking to Cameron from our colleagues at KMTV.
People who have got underlying health conditions, who may be more vulnerable, not able to control their body core temperature because they're on medication, and they've got underlying health problems, just need to be supported and careful of this next period, because of course their underlying health condition may put them at greater risk of suffering from a heat related illness. And that's basically what the amber alert means. It's for people who are potentially more vulnerable. So these might be young children, babies, people with complex health problems. So you might have a heart condition, you might be on medication for that, might have a respiratory condition, and there are other factors to take into consideration. So it's the next tier down from the level four, which of course means that everybody needs to be concerned, but clearly we do want everyone to be minded of the heat. But this is specifically aimed at those people who may be more vulnerable, and just to take note and to do things that will reduce the likelihood or risk of them becoming poorly during the next few days.
But this has obviously been a really extended period of warm weather. There was a similar heat health alert in July. How concerned are you for Medway residents and their health and well-being at this time?
So look, we always take any kind of threat to our population's health extremely seriously. Our communications colleagues have put out this whole range of advice on not just the Medway Council's website. If you go into the National Heatwave Plan, that will give you also some steers, but I'd prefer people to use the Medway Council website, clearly, and just give you basic advice. I mean, the issue is we've lived with this. It's the summer, and of course it's a dry summer. It's one of the challenges that we all face, anyone out there, around getting some relief from the temperature. And what we've just then got to do is just do some basic simple things. Drink more fluids, preferably water, fruit juices that have not got so much sugar content, and try to avoid drinking alcohol during the heat. Try stay out of the sun between the hours of 11 and 3 p.m. because that's clearly when the weather will be at its harshest, let's say, when the sun's up there and the heat will be the highest. And do basic things, you know, wear loose clothing. If you're able to have, you know, regular cold temperate showers, because obviously a cold shower might be unpalatable for some people, but it might give people really look after each other. And that's looking out for the signs of two key things. One might be heat exhaustion. That's where people are really sweating quite considerably. They're unable to control themselves in relation to their heat. They might then lead into a thing called heat stroke, which is then we're not seeing people sweating. They're hot to touch. And that's when there is a serious risk of a health emergency. So these are basic things that we would all just urge people to consider. There are things that we've said before. If people need further guidance, then clearly our websites have got, you know, the information for you. And when it's hot, if your house has got windows, which most hopefully people have got out in the day, draw curtains, draw the blinds to try to keep the heat from radiating through the windows, of course, and heating up the room internally. Open your windows later on to allow that heat to, and the cooler air to flow through. If you're out in the sun, you've got to be out and about, wear coverings. So that's a hat. Take water with you, because you never know what might happen, so that, you know, you just think you're going to go for a quick stroll, but the heat, if it gets above 30 degrees, it can really warm up quite quickly and cause challenges. So these are all basic, simple things I would suggest. People have lived through this already. The last alert that we had actually was a level 4 alert. That was the highest level alert. So this is really predominantly about looking after people who are more vulnerable, children, young people, and people with underlying health conditions. But it's a general message that we should all adhere to.
Elsewhere, animal rights campaigners are calling for the traditional donkey derby in Folkestone to be cancelled. Hundreds of people have signed a petition against the charity event at Radnor Park and are threatening to disrupt it with a protest on Saturday. They've described it as cruel and outdated, with particular concern about how the animals will cope with the extreme heat. Organisers say no races will be held in unsuitable conditions, and this year the donkeys won't have riders. Well, you can let us know what you think today by voting in the poll within the story at Kent Online. Whilst you're there, you can also leave a comment. It's also feared the heatwave could be devastating for hedgehogs in the county. The RSPCA received about 200 calls about sick, injured or orphaned hedgehogs here last year. There's always a peak in the summertime as the hot weather affects their food and water sources. And we've also heard that hundreds of fish have died at a lake near Canterbury, and it's thought the heatwave could be to blame. Up to 1,000 fish were discovered at Fordwich Lake after they were starved of oxygen due to the weather and an algae bloom. Equipment's been brought in to try and save the remaining stock. Finally, there's another reminder to plan your journey in Kent this weekend coming up because of the hot weather and a rail strike. It's thought more people will take to the roads as trains won't be running on Saturday. National Highways is urging drivers and passengers to take water with them and leave plenty of time. You'll be able to hear regular travel bulletins on our sister radio station KMFM. You can also follow our travel blog on the website.
This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with car dealerships in Canterbury and Maidstone.
It's been revealed a man from Sandwich who died after falling into the River Stour was drunk at the time. Paul Goodwin was reported missing in March and his body was recovered a couple of weeks later. The 61-year-old lived on a boat in Sandwich Marina. Two women have suffered back injuries and been airlifted from the base of a cliff near Folkestone. The Coast Guard was called out to Capel Le Fern on Tuesday night after they fell down a path into a wooded area. A helicopter lifted the women to safety before they were assessed by paramedics. A man who tried to smuggle £720,000 worth of heroin and cocaine into the UK through Dover has been jailed. The drugs were found in a BMW that arrived on a ferry in September 2020. The driver was arrested after changing his story about where he'd been while being questioned by Border Force. The 30-year-old from Sheffield has been locked up for 11 years. Now, the owner of an unauthorised glamping site in Kent that's been described as worse than a detention centre has defended her decision to try and open it permanently. The facility in Westby near Canterbury was set up in April using a temporary post-COVID licence. Now, Jane Mapp wants permission to stay open all the time.
We started by doing it because of the COVID and because of the struggles everyone is having. We did it for a week at last season and then decided to do it this season. We've kept it very small to 6 tents. It's more unique that way, I think. And also it serves what we need. We just wanted to survive and struggle, you know, get over everything that we've been through. We'd like to carry on by doing a foundation, which we have set up. This is a community interest company. That's for special needs and their families. That's the aim for next year.
So you've applied for planning permission?
I did. I understood to start with that there was a way we could do it for 56 days while the COVID was going on and stuff. When I started, I went straight to an agent to get things sorted, and he said to me it's 28 days. And I said, you know what, with the foundation and stuff, do you think we could get change of use on just this small plot and over the other side, because we cater for the scouts, which is right up the top, because they're interested in what we do here with learning about animals, the environment, how to take care of animals, and also what it means in nature, what it truly represents. It is a fantastic place. The views are absolutely amazing. I'm very lucky. I've got a fantastic team around me that have been so supportive. I wouldn't be without them, but yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
The application has caused quite a lot of objections in the village, though.
It has. I think some things scare people, but you have to remember, this site, the amount of acreage we have here, a livery yard recreation, and that holds 21 stables. You know, because of the COVID and beforehand of the problems and bits and pieces that we've had to go through, if we was actually full, and this site has been a livery yard for over 30 years, we have less traffic now, less impact, less everything else because of the tents. You know, we've cut so much down on the livery side of it because of the foundation side of it. We'd like to help Special Needs Family with more outdoor activities and stuff. So we've really blended the two without trying to impact anything.
Well, the decision hasn't gone down well with villagers. Parish Council Chairman Paul Glover says the glamping site has caused considerable upset among residents. In its formal objection to the proposal, the authority lists an increase in traffic in the village's narrow lanes and incidents of excessive noise and antisocial behaviour.
Kent Online reports.
At Kent Online today, you can see in detail what a controversial housing development in Hythe will look like if it's given the go-ahead. Some claim the plans for Prince's Parade are completely out of character with the area, and Green councillors are calling for a public debate before any decision is made. Well, a planning application for the houses, flats, shops and hotel has been put in to the council. Meantime, plans for more than 700 homes in Dartford are going to go on display next week, so you can say what you think of them. The area is called Stone Pit 2 and it's off Watling Street. The houses will be built in three phases, and we're told just under a quarter of the properties will be affordable housing. A public exhibition is being held at Stone Pavilion on Monday between 3 in the afternoon and 7:30 in the evening. A one-way system is going to be trialled around the Lock Meadow Entertainment Complex in Maidstone in a bid to try and ease congestion in the town. Drivers can sometimes find themselves waiting as long as 2 hours to get out of Barker Road. The proposal will stop vehicles coming from the Broadway from turning right into Hart Street. It's expected to be in place by November.
Kent Online reports.
Now, while most of us have been sweltering in the heat recently, wine growers in Kent have been telling the Kent Online podcast how they're loving the hot summer. Balfour Winery have had vineyards on the Hush Heath estate in Staplehurst near Maidstone for the past 20 years. It's thought this year's harvest will produce around 500,000 bottles. Well, I've been chatting to Fergus Elias, who is the head winemaker.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, vines grow best in hot, dry, arid conditions. Think, you know, South France or Italy. So they're very happy. I think we're in for a really exciting year, quality wise in particular. I think that's the really exciting angle.
How does it affect the harvest then? Does it mean that you get more grapes, or is it, as you mentioned there, the quality of them is so much better?
Yeah, so this year, when you sort of think about a harvest, the yield components, it's sort of 60% of your harvest is set the year before. So last year wasn't actually a particularly good year. It was, I don't know if you remember 2021, but it was quite wet, quite cold, and not very exciting at any stage. And so as a result, the yield this year is actually quite small. But what this fabulous weather is doing is it's making sure that the quality of it is going to be through the roof. It might even be early, which would be nice, because usually we harvest sort of early October through to the very end of October, and it starts to get a bit cold and not quite as fun towards the end of that. So hopefully, you know, this year we might start late September and finish mid-October, which would be nice.
And when would we start to see bottles of wine in the shops that have been produced this year? So when will kind of see the fruits of your labour, I guess, be there for us to enjoy?
The first still wines would be next spring. So you'll get, you know, rosé, that tends to be something you release quite early. Bacchus, which is a really aromatic sort of Sauvignon-esque variety. That's something you want to release early because it keeps the freshness and it gives you that really lovely aromatic note. The sparklings, you're looking at sort of 2024 because they spend at least 9 months in bottle and it takes me a few months to get them into a bottle. So you're looking at 2024 at the earliest. The wines that need longer in tank will have longer in tank and you'll get those towards the end. So things like the Pinot Noir, the Red, the Chardonnay, so the more structured wines that are slightly more, they're less driven by aromatics and more by their structure and potentially time in oak.
So what sort of difference in flavour do you think, if we bought, say, a wine in the spring, then the ones that are going to be out in the spring, what difference in flavour might we notice because of the really good summer that we've had?
I think you will have a marked change in weight, so how the wine feels in your mouth. It'll feel heavier, and this is because the alcohol level will be higher, so it'll be, I'd expect our natural alcohols to be higher this year than they were last. The acid profile will have changed, so it'll have softened slightly because, again, acids should be lower. Theoretically, all being well, sugars will be higher this year, acids will be lower, which will make a pronounced difference in how the wine tastes. And so, yeah, that would be the main sort of noticeable driver. You might get more of the sort of red fruit characters in our Pinot Noir. You might get sort of richer flavour profile, but that's the main driver.
And is this good weather particularly good for white grapes, red grapes, or just all grapes combined?
All grapes combined. Long may it continue. I mean, I am starting to see the first signs of water stress in some of our less established vineyards, so some of our younger sites. So a little bit of rain in the next few weeks would be lovely, but I don't think at the moment we're not worried from a grape growing perspective. From every other perspective, it's obviously mildly concerning.
What Absolutely. Does this do for Kent and kind of establishing even more so its reputation as one of the best places to be growing grapes and producing wine?
Obviously the harvest isn't in yet, so it's not over the line, but you know, another high quality harvest of the ilk of 2020 will only seek to bolster our burgeoning reputation for high quality still and sparkling wine.
And finally, one of the best meteor showers of the year will be most visible across the Kent skies later this week. The peak of the shower will be on Friday night or the early hours of Saturday morning when the sky should be at its darkest. However, the last giant supermoon of the year is set to coincide with the light show, so it could make it slightly more difficult to see.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Gillingham have been drawn at home to Exeter City in the second round of the Carabao Cup. The Jewels beat AFC Wimbledon 2-0 in their opening game on Tuesday night. The second round match will take place later this month. And in cricket, it's been a trip to Essex in the One Day Cup for Kent today. The Spitfires have won just one of their three games in the competition so far this season. They're taking on the Eagles in Chelmsford. We'll have details of the result in bulletins on our sister radio station KMFM tomorrow morning. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You can also get access to the ad-free Kent Online premium site. To do it, you need to subscribe. Just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online podcast. This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall.